Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Hi, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. It is May 8th, 2013. Thank you for being here. As I said in the intro there, I am Molly McCord, your hostess, and I share with you all kinds of spiritual and consciousness topics that I find relevant, that are coming through my spiritual guidance, and that are popping up as universal themes. Thank you for being here. I know you have a lot of ways you can spend your time, so it is my commitment to make sure that this hour gives you a lot of good information. My spiritual awakening began in 2002. I did not know it at the time. I had no clue, actually. And it's been through the past 11 years that I realized how much I've learned, and I just want to share that with you, give you my own experiences, and pass on any wisdom that could help you and help us right now. So that is my intention, and I'm excited about today's topic. We're looking at identifying your spiritual blind spots. And this is an area that we easily overlook because we're blind to the information. So we're going to look at what patterns, beliefs, thoughts, situations are coming up in your life that are ready for you to look at, to claim, to own, and essentially to make conscious in your energy. We're going to go into some ways to look at these breadcrumbs that are showing up, and I'm going to give you some insights about why. So that will be a very good discussion. Then in the second half of the show, the astrology component, we're going to look at Chiron in your astrology chart. Now, this is where I encourage you to get your astrology chart. If you don't have one, you can get a free copy at astro.com. It's a free account. You enter in your birth information, and then you click on, I believe it's natal chart. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting the exact name, but it's on that website, astro.com, and you can look at your chart for free. And then come back and listen to this show again. We usually start the astrology part around the 35-minute mark into the show. So we're going to look at Chiron. And that's going to connect to this topic of spiritual blind spots. It's going to help pinpoint an area of your life where you are healing and doing a lot of clearing work. Before we get too far ahead, I do have a few announcements to share with you, as always. One most important one right now is that there is a huge increase in solar energy happening. Astrologically, tomorrow, May 9th, we have a solar eclipse. This is a big deal. It's the first solar eclipse of 2013. There are only two solar eclipses this year. It's when there is a new moon. Eclipses always involve the moon. A solar eclipse is a new moon. So it's a big insurgence of energy. I have a full write-up of the May 9th solar eclipse on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. So you can click over there and read all about that. And, you know, the thing about solar energy is that it works with us energetically, and magnetic levels, on emotional levels, on many levels that we don't even know about. And something else that's important right now is that the sun is always alive and dynamic and moving and has its own bursts of energy, its own things that it always is working with. It's incredible to see the sun up close. And it's in a cycle. The sun is known as going through 11-year cycles where it reaches a peak in the 11th year, and then it starts over again in the first year. And this is the documented data that has been captured by various scientists for decades. Well, 2013 is an 11-peak year. That means the solar energy is particularly potent right now. It's strong, and it's affecting us. It's affecting us on our physical levels, such as through exercise, food, water, all these essentials that we need, but it's affecting us in our emotions. It's making more things heightened. So if you're finding in your life that some things just seem really big right now, that there's a lot of flare-ups, please know that it's global. It is related to an increase in solar energy. It's part of a natural cycle. We're moving through a very natural cycle here. And it's something that you can work with and just be aware of. For me, I am starving right now. Before this show started, I think I ate like 4 meals. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm just really hungry. And then I find the need to walk around and to move my body. I'm kidding. I didn't only eat 4 meals. But I felt like I just was continually grazing. And so we got to take care of ourselves. Make sure you're getting protein, fiber, fruits, whole foods, vegetables, all those essentials that your body can do something with to really nourish the body right now. I always want cupcakes and brownies, so I have to, you know, be strong about it. But we really need to take care of ourselves right now. This is the second eclipse of 3. That is big as well. May is a big month energetically. Please know that the third and final eclipse will be at the end of the month, May 24th. I will have another write-up on that lunar eclipse for you then. So, again, check out the website or sign up on the email list, and you'll receive that in your inbox. Also, right now, because the energies are so big, I'm doing an astrology special on eclipse energies. It's only $47 for 45 minutes, and we look at each eclipse and how it's working with you and the imprint it's making in your life. Eclipse energies last for 6 months to up to a few years. So it's some good guidance if you're needing to figure some things out for yourself. And then coming up on the show, I just want to put these two topics on your radar. Next week, we're going to talk about the spiritual purpose of the ego. Very important. There are some teachings out there that make the ego small, bad, do away with it, get rid of it. But there's a reason why we have egos. Absolutely. Absolutely, and it's essential. So we're going to talk about that and give you some insights and peace around having an ego and what that means. Then the following week, this is a topic that I feel is going to be really strong for many people. It's a spiritual mastery topic about boundaries, discernment, and solitude. Boundaries, discernment, and solitude. Big stuff there, highly relevant and very informative about this path that we're on, okay? So that information is coming through me strongly from spiritual guidance. I know that many of you need to hear more about it. So that is going to be a jam-packed show, so I invite you to come back and check it out. Okay, now we're going to get into today's topic, identifying your spiritual blind spots. I feel there's a lot of empowering information here. This information came through me from my spiritual team, my divine guidance. If you listened to the show before, I've explained that when I receive information and when I channel, I keep my same voice, my same energy, my same tone. That's what works for me. That's what I requested with my spiritual team. So I'm very present when I'm sharing this information with you, and I feel it's important to ground it. So what I like to do is just share with you something I learned recently about a blind spot, one of my own blind spots. And it was revealed to me around unconscious marketing practices that are prevalent right now. And I was uncomfortable with it. So my professional experience is in marketing and communications, sales, PR, all that stuff. I have over 15 years of that experience with big corporations, with smaller companies, with small business owners, one-on-one stuff. That's just my genre. It's my passion. And so there's been a trend in the past 5 years, especially, with more people emerging and getting out on the scene and wanting to make a big impression in the world around your email list. The list. It's important because that's how we communicate with people. It's how they remember us. It's how we stay relevant. There's a lot of reasons why it's important. And just recently, I would say probably in the past maybe 3 or 4 months, I was using and doing something that's very common with an email list, which is where you sign up, you get a free ebook or a free meditation or a free download. And I knew that was a best practice for many people and that their email list went up, your numbers go up, subscribers come in. But it didn't sit well with me. And I would feel into it and I would look at it on my website or I look at it somewhere and it kind of made me twist. My energy would twist a bit. And it's like, why is this bothering me? It's really bugging me that I have this free XXX on the website in order to get someone's email list. And I realized what it was. It's because a lot of what I do, if not everything, is free. And I love to give. And I have so much on the website that's free. And I do this radio show, and I just love it. It makes me really happy. And so I figure if someone wants to be on my email list, I don't need to bribe them. I don't have to entice them or put a carrot on a stick. And that's what it was feeling like. Because while people do subscribe, they also quickly unsubscribe. They're not valuing the information. They're thinking, okay, I'm going to sign up and get a free ebook, and then, you know, whatever, shrug, I'll unsubscribe because I don't really care what else this person has to say. And I realized, yeah, this doesn't work for me. And so I had to change that energy around because what was it that I wasn't seeing? You know, what was the blind spot here for me? Well, I realized that, you know, I was trying to lure someone in almost for like self-validation or because that's how other people were doing it or because that's what you're supposed to do, quote unquote. And I realized that doesn't work for me energetically because my energy is very much about giving and taking. And it's very strong in the fact that if somebody wants to connect with me, they will. They'll sign up and they don't need something to bribe them or lure them in. They'll just want to know information. And that's, in fact, how I operate on websites, is that when I feel that someone's trying to lure me in, I get turned off because I think you are already doing so much and you're offering so much that you don't need to lure me in. I want to choose to be here. So when I took off that luring people in on my email list tactic, yes, some of my subscribers slowed down, but people stayed. They did not unsubscribe. And the quality of the connections improved. And when I send out emails, people respond, and the quality of it improved, the energy of it changed, because I was going with what works for me. So for all of you who have a spiritual business, who feels like you need to do something because that's how other people are doing it, sit with how it feels for you. And the numbers are a big thing for any business because that's how you can tangibly quantify what you're doing. However, people relate to you in so many different ways. Someone might be on your email list and never watch your YouTube stuff or never find you on Facebook or vice versa. People might find you through a radio show and they don't care about your email list or they don't read email. I mean, there's so many ways that people connect these days. So making sure that you're doing what fits for you is going to change everything and make it better for you. So that was one of my blind spots that I had to identify, was that, you know, this wasn't working for me because it was out of balance. On that note, if you are ever looking for information about your spiritual business, I strongly recommend an Akashic readings for your business. And this is something that my colleague Shannon Lackman, the Psychic Cowgirl, offers. It's phenomenal. Your business talks to you. tells you what it needs, tells you what it's thinking, tells you all about what it's thinking of and where to go and all this information. So I highly recommend that. So if we're looking at our spiritual blind spots, again, it's that thing we don't see. I have a visual of it as being right there behind the back of your skull, just sort of floating. It's almost like if you were to look at where your third eye is in your chakra, it's right behind your third eye, right behind your skull there, floating. It's active, it's alive, but you can't see it. And so we're going to put some mirrors up to help you see what that is. One area I want you to think about in your life are the situational patterns that keep coming up as a theme. So take a look at life events for you. Like if you were to have your whole life as one long timeline, and you were to look at, okay, this happened when I was 8, this happened when I was 16, this happened when I was 23, or whatever your ages are, whatever those landmarks are for you. Look at those big life events and look at your feelings and reactions to them. And it could be as simple as writing it out and looking at what conversations you had with yourself around those events. And then if you were to look at all of that, like say you put it in a list, okay? So say at the age of 8, you had big fallout in elementary school and you didn't make band or you had to give up the trombone. Think about whatever that was and then think how you felt after that. Then you fast forward to your later years, maybe when you're 17 or you're 22 and you're starting out in the workforce and you look at, okay, I had my first confrontation with a coworker or I disagreed with my boss. You know, you want to look at these main life events that left an impression and trust what comes through, even if you don't get it right away, even if it's like, okay, this is really random. Write it down. And look at how you felt about it, because each of these things that you remember, it leaves an impression in your mind that really lasts. It's because there's something there for you. There's information there. There's a breadcrumb that you need if you choose it, if you want to look at it. But there's most likely a repetitive pattern here. And looking at that pattern is going to help you see yourself in a new way. Looking at how you reacted, how you felt, what was triggered, is going to show you what you're not seeing about yourself in those situations. Okay, so that's one area. Here's another one. What do you commonly say about other people in your life? What are the keywords you use to describe other people when you are hurt, angry, mad, sad, fearful? Essentially, what are the keywords you use when you feel those lower emotions, those lower vibrating emotions come up? What are your keywords? And I would invite you to just write these down without judgment of yourself at all, without absorbing the energy, just to look at it. Okay, yeah, I had this conversation with Melanie, and, you know, she's always so critical because blah, blah, blah. Or I had a conversation with someone through Facebook, and it just feels like they're always kind of a know-it-all, or they're always a little defensive. Write that down. Or I was looking at this event in my life, and I realized that my boss is always really controlling or micromanaging or blah, blah, blah. Okay, write down each of those keywords. And when you see this list come up, this information is giving you information about your trigger points, about what you need to detach from, about areas of life that you're learning more about your own energy. And it's showing you a theme. When people, when your buttons are pushed, when you're triggered, when you feel reactionary, and you go into this place, you're going into your blind spot. You're going into this part of you that you're not seeing accurately, and the person is reflecting it back to you. Does that mean you're always critical? Does that mean you're always controlling? Are those words you would use to describe yourself? Not necessarily. It could be that this person is triggering your past life energies, and you're being given the opportunity to clean it up, you know, to be in a place of detachment, of observing, of completion with the energy so that you're not triggered. And so this is a big blind spot, is that it's related to projection, you know, where we're seeing it in other people, but we don't see it in ourselves. However, you can only see it in other people if you have it in yourself and you haven't looked at it. So if you have been working on certain themes within yourself, for example, if you realize, oh gosh, I'm kind of judgmental, or oh wow, maybe I'm critical, because it helps me understand my own self-doubt or my own fears or my need to be perfect or my need to do it better. You know, if you're seeing it as part of the picture and working through it, then you're owning it and it's no longer a blind spot. But if you're not seeing it, it's chances are that that's just going to keep coming back up and keep coming around, and you're going to have more people who are showing that to you. And then what happens, and this is very cool, is that after you work through it, and you're like, okay, I realize that this person makes me critical of them, and I have worked through that. And so now I'm no longer critical, and I can just listen, take it in, detach, observe, and I don't feel triggered. I don't feel myself going into that critical space. I don't feel it needing attention like it did. This is where some of our biggest lessons occur and where new levels of personal power emerge. There's a fun saying, let me get it right. It's, you spot it, you got it. So consider that. Consider that as your own blind spot. And I'll be honest with you, at first you can say, oh, no, that's not me. And that's okay to have that at first. That's almost like dipping your toe into the pool, right? It's like, okay, I'm not ready to jump in there yet, so I'm going to put up a little bit of a fence. But when you are ready, you're going to learn a lot about yourself, and you're going to heal it in a very powerful way. When I have done I've done a lot of my own spiritual work, and every time something starts out and it sucks, it only leads to feeling amazing when I go through it. You know, steel going through fire, when you bite the bullet, when you really dive in and move through it, it only leads to amazing places when you own it. So I hope that encourages you and gives a light at the end of the tunnel, because we don't always want to see these parts of ourselves, right? There's just a lot there at times. And maybe it's not the right time. You're not in the right place. You don't have the energy. That's all great. And yet when you are ready, it will be waiting for you. And again, it will lead you to new levels of personal empowerment. Guaranteed. I will give you a guarantee on that. Okay, so we've looked at two things already, the situational patterns in your life, what you commonly say about other people in your life. Here's number three, what you don't like in your parents. So, yes, I know. And this is where we can have our biggest reactions and our biggest projections and our biggest need for detachment. Our parents are oftentimes our greatest teachers. We have contracts and agreements in place with them. We can have intense karma. We can have unfinished energies. We can have a lot mixed into these relationships. And what's fascinating is, in order to be a human being in physical expression, you need a mother and a father to create you. This doesn't mean that you, in terms of physical, right? You need a sperm and an egg. And so that means every person on earth who got here has some type of biological father and biological mother. Of course, the situations vary and how those relationships unfold. But you have strong agreements with both of these people in your life. Every person on the planet does. And so they are our greatest teachers. And they are showing us what we need to heal, what we need to see in ourselves, what we need to complete. And what you don't like in your parents can be a reaction to other lifetimes. It can be about those soul contracts and those soul agreements. It can be related to energies that you agree to complete for yourself. It can be many, many things. I mean, the options just go and go. And so I'm feeling how there are some people who are feeling really, your energy is sinking at this topic. Because there's parts of your parents you don't like. Okay, here's the message. It's not about liking them. It's about having love, capital L, love for them, for volunteering to be here in form so that you can be here in form, so that you can learn these lessons and you can make choices that are best for you. And I'm hearing very strongly that because parents are our greatest teachers, at first you can feel powerless, like, why did I choose this person to be a teacher? Or why would I ever want to learn this lesson? We go there, but don't stay there, because you're moving through these emotions. You're moving through this understanding. And I feel that for many of you, this is starting you down a path that you haven't wanted to look at. And you've been avoiding, I'm seeing arms stretched out really far, like you've literally been keeping it away at arm's length. So I want to offer you this, that you're listening to this show probably because this is exactly what you're ready to hear right now, because there are so many people who can help you and assist you. There are tons of resources available right now to move through these family patterns and to see your parents in a new way. And there's a lot here where, again, your levels of personal empowerment will go up even higher when you're looking at this information and understanding it. Okay, so your parents could be a spiritual blind spot. And I find this is true for many light workers, star seeds, multidimensional beings, indigos, crystals, because you're literally made of different energy, and the energies don't mix. They don't mix, and it maxes you out. And so the important thing to know is that the reason why you have a parent who feels so different is so that you can work with these energies that are prevalent here on Earth. It's about learning how to observe and detach and neutralize and to finish and complete those maybe out-of-control emotional reactions. So if this resonates with you, and you feel ready, there are a lot of books out there. I would recommend Robert Schwartz has some books about your soul's plan, your soul's gift. Michael Newton, Journey of Souls. I've read all three of his books. I read all three of his books probably like 4 or 5 years ago. Couldn't put them down. Excellent stuff. There's just a lot of good information out there, so trust what you find. If you feel that you need to look at this blind spot for yourself. Okay, I'm just going to let that sit for now. And then the fourth area where you might need to identify your spiritual blind spots relates to your experiences in corporations, businesses, or anything that is built in 3D energy. Anything that is that originated in third dimensional energy is potentially triggering up your third dimensional energies that are ready to be raised. It's a part of your vibration that's ready to be elevated. And you are in these scenarios and situations for a few reasons. One is to help you see it in yourself, to have these experiences so that you can name it and claim it. You are in these energies so that you can master the energy so that it's not working unconsciously. It doesn't trigger you. You are also in these energies because how much of the world is in these energies, and you need to have this as part of your toolbox. You know, you need to know how to navigate and move through these energies. You know how to work with them, how to not let them stick to you. Ew, I'm getting a visual of like leeches. You know, just being able to see like what is sucking you dry and how to fortify it within yourself. Because it could be that your blind spot, one of your blind spots, is how much lower energies affect you and you're not aware of it, and yet it makes you tired, it pulls you down, it takes away your motivation, it takes away your energy. It has a lot of, what's the word? It's like I'm seeing it like infused, it gets infused into you. Okay, this is really big for some people. The third dimensional stuff isn't going away. Some of it's shifting, yes, it's raising, it's changing, it's evolving, yes, yes, yes. But it's not going away. It's not leaving, because Earth is a third dimensional energetic experience. And so we need to know how to work with it better. And so if you are having a difficult time working with it, that is one of your blind spots. That is an area where you are ready to master it, to look at it, and to be able to work with it in a way that's good for you, that's on your own terms. As I said at the beginning, you know, I was talking about how people use email wasn't working for me. And so I had to do it differently. I had to do it that fit me. That's really important right now. At the same time, we have to make our own decisions without judgment, without expectation, without attachment. So if you are in third dimensional energies and it's really affecting you, this is your gift right now. Your gift of being in these energies is to work with them in a way where you can return to a neutral state. And I think this is a huge, huge, huge area for many spiritual being, for people who are on a spiritual path, is that we've been doing this shifting and growing and evolving for so long, or even for just, you know, maybe it doesn't feel like it's been so long, but you've been thinking, okay, I'm going to get away from all this stuff that's going on in the world. I'm going to get away from the mass media. I'm going to get away from these systems that are outdated, and, you know, it's like you're going to a new land. And the reality is that you're going to a new energetic space, but unless you choose to pass over, you're still staying here. And the mass media is staying here. And the financial systems, you know, those are going to be changing, but it's still here. I mean, it's about you being able to be your high light, regardless of all that other stuff, to not take it in, and to own your own energies in a way that enlightens everything else around you, where you're leaving your energy on the ground, where you're putting your energy into these third dimensional energies, but not because you're requiring them to change, but because you're demonstrating how to own your energy and work with your mastery in a way that infuses them with higher levels of light. Ooh, okay, that's big. That's what many of us, many, many, many need to hear and know right now, is that you are doing this work as a fifth or higher dimensional being, but you're infusing it into the earth structures and the third dimensional entities. So if your blind spot is that you are reacting against all these energies in some way, it's because you haven't connected to the fact that you're supposed to be infusing them and imprinting them. Okay, I'm getting the message right now that I need to do a show on this. Okay, I'm writing it down right now. I'm going to do this show. exactly about this poverty because I feel how many of you are like thirsty and you need to know more. Okay. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to get that together. You'll see that here on Blog Talk Radio about leaving your imprint in the third dimensional structures. Okay. So on that note, my friend, I need to take a quick water break. So 60 seconds, I'm going to play a little music for you, and then we're going to come back and look at your astrology chart in Chiron, and we're going to continue this discussion of spiritual blind spots. So please grab your astrology chart if you have it handy, and we will look at that in just a moment. Be back here. Hope you enjoyed A Little One Love there by the one and only Bob Marley. I love that song. It just kind of makes me rock and roll and got some good vibes in it. So moving forward, we're looking at Chiron. Now, I put an image of Chiron on the Blog Talk Radio slideshow there, and it looks like it has a circle at the bottom and a K at the top. And it's I always see it as a key. As a key, doorway, put it in the lock, unlock the door, and walk through. In mythology, Chiron was a centaur, and he was a healer and a teacher, but he wasn't able to heal himself. However, that quote-unquote wound that he had was what created his skills, what made him an effective teacher and master was because he understood what it meant to have a wound and then how to use that to heal others and to teach others and to share that experience with others. So that's the real quick version of the mythology. And Chiron in our natal charts is very important. It shows where you have your greatest healing power this time around. And it shows you where you can make choices to heal yourself when you know what that area is. Something that's fascinating about Chiron is that my friend, Rick DiClemente, he has an awesome book called The Exquisite Zodiac. And he has been a strong advocate of the power of Chiron for years. And he describes it as Chiron shows you your destiny, your greatest powers, your greatest healing. And it offers us a lot more than we would see on our own. So chances are you've needed other people in your life to show you where this wound is, to show you what it means, to show you where you can heal and then teach it or share it or use that wisdom for either greater self-empowerment or to offer to others for their self-empowerment. In your astrology chart, I'm going to look at the house location of Chiron, and that is different than the sign it's in. So Chiron could be in Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, etc. But we're going to look at where it is in your chart, the actual house placement, because this is going to show you what area of life you may be experiencing the greatest unconscious wounds or blind spots, and then how to work with them. All right. And the energy of that will change based on a number of things, based on what sign it's in, based on the aspects, based on transits. I mean, this is where it gets complicated, but we're going to keep it simple so that you can just know what area of life you are here to heal the most. And oh God, I had one more thought to share with you, and it just left me. So maybe it will come back, that other thought. I know what it is. Every once in your lifetime, you have what's called a Chiron return. It's between 49 and 51 years of age, roughly. It's when Chiron has made a full circle around your astrological chart and returns to the exact place it was when you were born. And a Chiron return has many things that come with it. It will connect you with a full circle of healing. You can look at your life in a new way. You can see your own journey and with new eyes. You might have a better understanding of your talents, of your gifts, of your destiny. The Chiron return can be a very powerful time if you've been conscious and making choices that are right for you. At the same time, it can also reveal to you where in your life you need to change the energy around, where you haven't been dealing with some type of situation that requires healing. One of the things I love when I think about Chiron is that, think about when you get a, say you get a cut on your leg, okay? Like some kind of cut, maybe it's, I don't know, you can even say it's a paper cut. You cut your leg and it starts to bleed. Your blood is what nourishes the wound. You heal yourself naturally. Now, I'm not talking about when you're, you know, gushing blood all over the floor or if it's a dire emergency, but I'm saying that the healing occurs in the blood. The blood is what heals you because it's able to take care of you. You have the healing within you, even with the wound. That is Chiron. Chiron is able to nurture itself, take care of itself. You have everything you need already. The blood, again, it's, you know, the blood is so nurturing to our systems. It has so many benefits. We need our blood, obviously. And that is what heals us in very deep levels. Okay, I'm getting the nudge. I need to move this forward. So let's go into the first house. If you have Chiron in the first house, remember Chiron looks like that little upside down key. This is about healing your self-identity. This is about owning who you are, what you're about, your personality, your needs. If Chiron is close to the ascendant, this can relate to how you see yourself in the world. In relationships, you might not see yourself accurately. You might feel... it could be an insecurity. Chiron does reveal an insecurity. It shows us what requires greater security. So when we look at Chiron in the first house, we're looking at how you are here to own yourself, to love yourself, to feel secure in who you are, and to share that with others, to make that a powerful statement and energy that supports you. Chiron in the second house relates to issues of self-worth, valuing yourself, what you spend your money on, financial issues, anything related to your way you exert energy in order to claim something for yourself. Chiron in the second house could mean that you focus a lot on acquiring possessions or on name brands or on things that are frivolous instead of looking at self-worth, at how you are needed, how you are valuable, how you are loved. And wherever Chiron shows up is where you will receive these lessons over and over again, as we described in the show. The same patterns in your life will trigger this because it's ready for you to own it. You are ready to love yourself more. Chiron in the third house relates to communication and mental processes, languages, you could even have some kind of, there could be a speech issue, or, you know, you could even be, this is interesting, you're saying dyslexic. I mean, it could be something where your brain operates at a different vibration and frequency, and you thought that that was wrong or that you didn't fit in. It could feel like you don't fit in within your siblings. It could show up as being someone who doesn't connect to the community. I find that people with Chiron in the third house often have a higher vibration in their thoughts, in their mental processes, and how they take in information and speak. And so they think they don't belong or fit in when they're just operating in a different energetic paradigm. Chiron in the third house can also relate to wounding from early childhood, from siblings, from friends. It's interesting. I'm even seeing, like, in a neighborhood, like if you're outside playing on the driveway and all the other kids are playing down the street, like you're not feeling like you fit in, but it's because your energy is so different. Wow, okay, that's really specific. So I'm trusting that that belongs to somebody who is listening. Chiron in the fourth house, this relates to feelings, your emotions. It relates to trust and how you trust yourself, how you trust your feelings. And chances are that this originated from early childhood and your emotional experiences with parents. Chiron in the fourth house does relate to where you came from and whether or not you received nurturing as a child and that your needs were attended to. If you have Chiron in the fourth house, chances are you have had to learn to take care of yourself emotionally. You've had to figure out what you need and not rely upon others. It's about being your own inner parent and feeling comfortable in your own inner world. Chiron in the fifth house, it relates to your creativity and self-expression and whether or not you're able to make something and put it out into the world, whether you feel comfortable and secure doing that. It could be that you felt really different, you didn't see where your creativity fit, you're afraid to take a risk. This is where you're like this beautiful lion who's afraid to roar. You know, you're afraid of being heard or being on stage or putting it out there, and yet your creativity is one of your greatest powers and greatest gifts. And this is where you choose to develop your creativity and own it and make it you. It's about your self-expression, also about playing and having fun and just being open to life. Chiron in the fifth house might... You could feel like you would rather stay behind the scenes, but really, when you open up and express yourself, you will find that more people are ready to embrace you and love you than you could ever imagine. Chiron in the sixth house. If you have Chiron in the sixth house, this relates to your daily commitments, to your work life, to responsibilities, to your physical health. Okay, and I'm feeling very strongly that that is the most important topic here for many people listening, is that your physical health, your body has become a vessel for the unconscious wounds, whether that's weight gain, diet, not working out enough, not taking care of yourself, not listening to your body's messages. Chiron in the sixth house is about really paying attention to your physical needs and how you exert your energy on a daily basis, including through discipline, through your, even through like your job, like any place where you are exerting your effort, you need to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and not allowing other people's needs to dominate. Watch where you make commitments. This is where... Oh, this is interesting. Chiron in the sixth house can also make you feel like you're a slave to something else. Like you're always giving. You're always doing something else for somebody. It's martyrdom. Chiron in the sixth house. You watch and see if one of your blind spots is being a martyr. Okay, that felt big. Moving into the seventh house. This is about relationships, partnerships, business agreements, the give and the take. Chiron in the seventh house is going to show you where in relationships you're ready to heal more. You're going to have partners who trigger that in you and who show you that part of your life and part of yourself. You're going to be in situations where other people maybe want more from you and you have to state your own needs. You have to be firm in what you need in the relationship or partnership. And this could be difficult. If this is true for you, know that it's part of your soul lesson this time around. Again, Chiron shows us part of our destiny. And so you chose to receive and experience these lessons in a way that you can't ignore them and that other people that you have contracts, agreements, and connections to will help you learn it. The seventh house is about other people. So this could also show up in marriages where you are in a marriage with your partner and they trigger your healing needs, either through the marriage or through the separation of the marriage. It could be that you have someone come into your life, you get married, and then at some point you get divorced, and it's through the divorce process that you learn more about your deepest needs and your deepest healing. Okay, then we move up into the eighth house. Chiron in the eighth house. This involves other people intensely. This is where you are sharing with other people. You're sharing resources. If Chiron is in the eighth house, you could be very concerned about what other people think. You could be very concerned about not being taken care of or getting the short end of the stick. You could be concerned or like psychologically, this is deep energy and there's deep emotions here. It could be some psychic wounding or psychological healing needs to occur about trust because you've been betrayed a lot or because you are not feeling trust in others. This can attract betrayal, manipulation, fraud, anything that pinpoints for you where you need to trust yourself more, regardless of other people. At the same time, when this is healed, you can develop incredible partnerships and merge with other people in a way that is very supportive of who you are and your needs. There's a lot of emotional depth in the eighth house, so you might be afraid to go there or to see yourself in this manner or to go into a deep transformation process. But that is one of your greatest gifts, your greatest keys to personal advancement and spiritual development. Remember, Chiron is a key. It's that key that is going to connect you to this new part of yourself and take you into places of you that are ready to be developed even more. Now I move into Chiron in the ninth house. And this is interesting. Chiron in the ninth can be about your beliefs, the bigger picture stuff. And I'm slowing down here because I'm feeling like this is where there can be a righteousness, unconscious righteousness, dogma. It's my way or the highway. Everything is really big or extreme or taken to a new level. There's things within this house that show you that you're searching for the bigger picture, the bigger meaning, and that often through travel, exploring, adventure, religion, philosophy, law, those take you to a bigger understanding and connection to your gifts. So if you have Chiron in the ninth house, look and see, are you unconsciously a know-it-all? Are you unconsciously someone who has all the right answers for everybody and your beliefs are the way? So that could be a blind spot for you. Opening that up and seeing how other cultures accept people, how other faiths honor other faiths. I mean, this is where you can take things to a bigger level, but you have to see it within yourself first. Okay, I heard people laughing about that one, so I'm trusting that that was what some of you needed to hear. Chiron in the 10th. This could be about having real insecurity around your career, not knowing what you're supposed to do next, not knowing how to make a living or how to be an authority. You might not feel like you are able to lead people. You might not feel worthy of being recognized or to receive. This has to do with maybe you haven't found that career choice that fits for you. Chiron in the 9th also could relate to, again, the father-mother relationships and not respecting authority or not knowing what that looks like in a healthy way. How authority can be healthy and supportive and kind and not dominating and power hungry. So you're claiming your personal authority with Chiron in the 10th. That's what you're really focusing on here. Moving into Chiron in the 11th house, this is about your connection to groups of people. And it could be the feeling of being a loner, of being that, you know, square peg in a round hole. It could be feeling like you don't fit in, you don't belong. There could be some wounding around friendships, groups, and who you are in the world and how you contribute. You know, it could be that you're searching for the dream. You know, what is my greatest life dream? But the gift of this placement is that you are an individual. You are slightly rebellious. You're here to do things your own way. You are here to leave your unique imprint on the world. And that is perfect. That is exactly what it needs to be because you're here to make a difference on a bigger scale, a difference that is big for the collective. So if you felt like you don't belong and that you're the outsider, look at that from a different perspective. Switch that around and look at it as, okay, maybe because I am here to stand out and to be different for the crowd, from the crowd, and there's perfect divine reasons in that. And then we come to Chiron in the 12th house. And this, gosh, I feel this strongly as some kind of spiritual wounding. Like you need to be alone, but there's something where it's almost like the blind spot. I mean, there's something here where you really aren't seeing your own spiritual power, your own spiritual abilities. Maybe you don't feel connected to spirit. Maybe you don't feel that you're a part of everyone, that you're a part of one beautiful human family. There's something here where you could be in solitude. You could be choosing to be a hermit, to be alone, to be just out away from everybody else. And yet there's something here where you're about connecting to the bigger picture, compassion, faith, trust, and going into the spiritual topics that interest you to find out how you do feel connected. Meditation is important. Anything where you can be alone and be within your own energy is going to fortify you and make you stronger and more trusting. So if you have Chiron in this 12th house, this is about a personal mission for you, a personal soul mission, where you're connecting again to your own spiritual powers and abilities that have probably been hidden from you. You can't see them. They're out of sight, out of mind, but they're waiting for you when you make a choice to connect with them. It can be one of the trickiest positions of Chiron because it really feels very far away. but it's not. It's right there waiting for you, and you will connect with it in meditation and in your sleep. So, my friends, that is the show for this week. As always, the hour flew by. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your energetic presence. I honor it and I feel it. I'm going to put together a new show for you based on the topic we covered today about leaving your imprint in third dimensional structures. So look for that. Otherwise, have a wonderful, beautiful week and check out the write-up on the solar eclipse on consciouscoolchic.com. See you next week. Bye-bye.